Okay. Let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop the sadha, the faith, the virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1. We shall commence the salutation to the Buddha.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Patiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we are chandipadipa puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda gunopetang เอตังกสุมาสันทตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุดังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเทนะเจโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาดาเวดัตติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโรจานาปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังNow we shall make the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water.May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One.Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of oral aspiration.By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception.Especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Huh?
Betang pujemi. Damang pujemi.สังฆังปุจเจมิโอเค you can be seated and we can have our meditation huh? we can have 35 minutes of meditation okay we were off the light huh? thenFor those who know how to meditate, yeah, you can straight away start the meditation.
Then there are some offering that they just brought, eh? So we will also offer them. Eh? Let us rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. You all can start your meditation. Eh? For those who are new, you still need instruction. Eh? I will maybe give some short instruction. Eh? Then the rest you have to go back and read it up. Eh? It's from the meditation book. There are two or three of them, the blue book. Eh? Okay, off the light and we will start. For those who know how to meditate, you can straight away start. And for those who have already trained their mind, you can just relax, silent everything and just maintain awareness to develop the meditation. Mm. Then for those who still need to train their mind, you can proceed as before. Mm. You still need to develop the mind sweeping method to help you decondition your heedless thinking. You can do so too. And after that, you need to stabilize your spiritual faculties. Especially sati, mindfulness. Yeah. So to do that, you can make full use of whatever skillful means or object of meditation that you are familiar with to anchor it, then to relax into it and allow it to stabilize. Then finally, the mind will become very quiet, very peaceful and very still. That is the meditative mind. So that is a training that we need to do so that this mind can be transformed into this meditative silent mind of paucity. Mm. Then that mind can meditate and develop a lot of understanding. Okay, for those who are new, I will teach you the mind sweeping method to help you calm yourself down. Eh? Mind sweeping method is a very important technique to just calm yourself down. And it also helps you train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Mm. Because this mind sweeping method, you just feel and relax, you don't think. Okay, now make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight, relax, silent body and mind completely. Then maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. Just feel with your mind, feel. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax and silence everything. Relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then move your attention down to your facial muscle. Do the same, feel and relax. Every strand of your eye muscle or ciliary muscle, feel it soothingly, relax. Then you sweep it down. Or scan it down to your facial muscle. Mm. Some call it the body scanning technique. We call it sweeping because the mind sweeps down. So you just scan or feel or sweep your awareness down to your facial muscle. Layer by layer, feel, relax, feel, relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. If all your facial muscles are relaxed, you are peaceful. You are relaxed. Then in order to help you develop the relaxation further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. The smile is very important. You can radiate a radiant smile. You will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, and it will relax your facial muscle naturally. Then you can develop the inner peace. And to make this inner peace stable, you can also radiate loving kindness or metta following what I recite to bring about inner well-being. You can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel yourself and your body and mind when you recite. May I, you feel this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells of your body and mind, your entire being. Then you can repeat one or two times, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you continue to radiate this love and metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones, including my parents, brothers and sisters, good friends, people who are close and dear to me, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful, without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their mind too be free from all suffering. May their body too be free from all suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their whatever mind states too be always at peace with wholesomeness to be of benefit to living beings. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all Dhamma friends and Kayamitas, co-meditator, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we continue to radiate this metta to all beings. May all beings throughout the entire SS2, Putrajaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then all beings within our entire solar system, galaxy, Milky Way, and the whole universe, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful, well, happy and peaceful, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then the inner peace leading to inner well-being will bring about a calm mind. Then now I will go back to the facial muscle. You just feel each and every part of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you feel your neck, relax. Feel your shoulder, relax. Hand, relax. Back to shoulder, relax. Then you maintain attentiveness and move the mind down to your heart or chest area. Silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence everything, relax and stay there. Be with it. Awareness, the mind and the vibration or the heartbeat, they become like synchronized into the same movement. The awareness is just aware of this movement that silence everything. You are new, you are not sensitive, it's okay. Then no need to feel. You just relax, silent, and like mind sweeping matter, like you feel your forehead and relax. You now feel your chest area If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax it. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move it down to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. And buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind serving method. From buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then you sweep it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then your stomach, feel, relax. Then your chest, again do the same, silent everything, feel, relax. Then back to shoulder, hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then move up your facial muscle, feel, and relax them all. Then your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful. Your mind is already quiet with the inner peace and the inner well-being. Then you relax into everything, silent everything. Then try to stabilize this mindfulness or awareness, the silent mind that you have developed. If you don't have any skillful means or object of meditation, then I will teach you Anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril, just silent everything and feel. Then when you detect your breathing, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Then breathing out, the mind is again aware. Initially, when you are not trained, not skillful, within split second, your attentiveness, your mindfulness, you will wander off. Then you realize you are no longer with your breathing, anapanasati. So every time it wanders off, don't be panic, don't be unhappy, just maintain patience, bring the attentiveness back to your nostril, feel again, develop mindfulness to detect your breathing. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. You can expect this wandering mind to do this for a while. But if you are patient, sooner or later, the mindfulness of the in and out breath will arise. Then your mind will be able to be mindful of this in and out breath. And when you can do that, there is a lot of peacefulness that will arise, a lot of calmness. You will start to experience a type of spiritual peace or spiritual calmness, which they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual rupture or spiritual calmness that will arise when the mind does not think, when it is just aware. Then you continue to relax into it and maintain this in and out breath. Be mindful of it. As you continue to train, this piti will become more and more refined. It will accumulate into what they call sukha. Sukha is a very blissful mind state, even more refined than piti. You will experience a type of very blissful mind state and you will like to meditate. There is so much bliss within the calm mind. Then you continue to relax and silent everything. Then this sukha, they will actually transform again and make the mind very quiet and very still. So from the silent mind that arises piti and sukha, it will finally slow down, quiet down until it becomes pasati. Pasati is the tranquility mind. The tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is the meditative mind. So when you are able to realize that pasati, you just allow it to be silent everything and just feel. feel your whatever object of meditation, even when it's very subtle, you just silent everything, be patient. Then not long, the mindfulness will transform and become very, very much more refined, and you will be able to detect even the subtle breathing. Then by then, your mind would have been in sati. When the mind is in sati, technically it don't need any object of meditation. That's why it can be silent on its own without any movement or activity. Okay, you train your mind accordingly. Then I will ring the bell when it's about 9 p.m. So now I will allow you to meditate on your own.
For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever mind state that you have developed or trained, especially the inner awareness, inner mindfulness, and inner calmness and peacefulness. The mind that is trained is the silent mind or the meditative mind. That mind is aware, peaceful. And this is the mind that can develop understanding, wisdom. We have to use this trained mind state in positive to develop the meditation. And the real meditation is, of course, daily mindfulness, where we can be mindful of our daily activity, movement, thought process, mental movement. Then we can develop the understanding of who we are, why we are, and the clear understanding of life. We can also insight into the characteristics of nature, the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. They will all arise when you develop the mindfulness. Mindfulness is very important. Without mindfulness, you cannot start. Mindfulness has a lot of advantages. It's one of the most important spiritual faculties. So we are here to train the mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the heedless mind. When we train it, it will become peaceful, quiet. Then when there is no thought, when there is no movement, the true mind will manifest. You will be in sati automatically. The moment you are without thought, awareness will be there. So that understanding is very important. Okay, now we will continue with our invitation to the devas, or invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhamma muni rajasa sunantu sakka mokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno Sugato lokavido anotaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko Ehi pasiko opanaiko
ปัจจตังเวทิตาโบปิโนหิทิสุปาทิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปาทิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะปัตติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามิจฉิปัตติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะทิฏังจัตตาริปุริสโยคานิอัตถปุริสปุคะละเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยกิเนโยอัญจะลิกะระณิโยอนุตตรังปุญญะเขตาโลกาสัตถิ
โอเค
สาธุสาธุสาธุ
Okay, we shall now pay respect to Tripajan. Buddhang Pujemi Dhammang Pujemiสังฆังปุเจมิโอเค you can be seated okay we shall now continue from where we stopped.We are at page 91, chapter 12. This is the Diamond Sutta, Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. Okay, before we start, we will read the opening verse, turn to page 1. Opening verse 4 opening a sutta.The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 91. Okay, this chapter is very important.Then next chapter also very interesting. Next chapter is chapter 13. This one is the chapter that I have been telling you all to. So I will read the other version first. Chapter 12. Furthermore, Subhati, if any person in any place were to teach even four stanzas of this sutta, the place where they taught it would be sacred ground and would be revered.By all kinds of beings. How much more sacred would the place become if that person then study and observe the whole sutta? Subhati, you should know that any person who does that would surely attain something rare and profound. Wherever this sutta is honored and revered, there is a sacred site enshrining the presence of the Buddha.Or one of the Buddha's most venerable disciple. So this is chapter 12. We are going through after this. Chapter 13 is also very interesting. I read to you. This is what I've been telling you all this while. Subhati said to Buddha, By what name shall we call this sutta so that it can be honored and studied?The Lord Buddha replied, This sutta shall be known as the diamond that cuts through illusion. That's why it's called Diamond Sutta. Jingkang, Jing. Jingkang is diamond.
By this name it shall be revered and studied and observed. What does this name mean? It means that the Buddha, when the Buddha named it, he did not have a mind or have in mind any definite or arbitrary conception, and so named it. The sutta is hard and sharp like a diamond that can cut away all arbitrary conception and illusion, thereby bringing in one to the other shore of enlightenment. Then the Buddha asked, "What do you think, Subhati? Has the Buddha taught any definite teaching in this sutta?" You remember I used to tell you, this Diamond Sutta actually got no real Dhamma. The Buddha never teach any Dhamma. That's why here he said, "Has the Buddha taught any definite teaching in this sutta?" The answer is, Subhati said, "No, Lord. The Buddha has not taught any definite teaching in this sutta." You know why or not? What is 32 chapter? The Buddha only told them how to cultivate Diamond Sutta. And why Diamond Sutta is so powerful. You have to cultivate until the mind is like that. Have this type of understanding. You have to cultivate until the understanding is so penetrative that there is no mark. This is the sutta of no mark. No mark of a cell, no mark of living being, no mark of any sutta or whatever. So that is the profoundness of this teaching. That's why it don't have any essential dhamma inside there. It got poems and all those things through the commentaries. But it never teach you anything. So these are for beings that have developed the very, very initial powerful understanding of the Dhamma. But even after they have cultivated a lot of this Dhamma understanding, even after they have penetrated the three universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to the understanding of suffering state and non-self, but because that understanding is not penetrative enough, not stable enough, they cannot develop a mind that has no mark. The understanding is there, but they cannot put that understanding into full practice in daily life. That's why that cultivation has to be developed towards the end. That's why it's called the ultimate teaching. They call it the Diamond Sutta. Jingkangjing. So this sutta, in its own way, is very, very unique. Then I read on. "What do you think, Subhati?" the Buddha asked. "Are there many particles of dust in this vast universe?" Subhati replied, "Yes, many, most honored one." Subhati, when the Buddha speaks of particles of dust, it does not mean I'm thinking of any definite or arbitrary thought. I'm merely using these words as a figure of speech. They are not real, only illusion. It is just the same with the word universe. These words do not exert any definite or arbitrary idea. I'm only using the words as words. So you understand, Dhamma is beyond words. Okay? Can follow? So, words are needed. Why? Because living beings need to use words to understand. The communication is through words. So word is just a means for expression, for communication. The word is not that thing, understand? The word Dhamma is not that thing which is Dhamma. The word house is not this soul structure called house, understand? That's why you must go beyond the word. You must penetrate the understanding of the word. Means you must see things as they are, realize the truth, the way things are. Not at the concept level, not at the knowledge level, not at the word or theoretical level. That's why wisdom is understanding, it's not rigid, it's not a knowledge. It's not a knowledge where you hold on to the meaning of the word, thinking you know. The most dangerous person in this world, Krishnamurti says, is the one that say, I know. Means you don't really have the understanding. Because the true understanding, which is wisdom, is not knowledge, not wisdom. That's why it's not rigid. It understands, just like that. Because it's not something fixed. It's not a knowledge. Like knowledge is, you study, huh? Like in your school, the capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. This is rigid, fixed, because it's a knowledge. But when you study arithmetic, there are multiple combinations of way to add and other things. So it's not rigid. You cannot say to get 7, it must be 4 plus 3. Nope. 7 minus 0 is also 7. Or 10 minus 3 is also 7. Then 5 plus 2 is also 7. That's why it's not rigid. So a lot of people may use different words, because different language, to define that thing. Like the word kereta, car, che. All the different language use different word, but they point to the same thing. Understand not? Because it is wisdom, it's understanding. So arithmetic is the same. When you understand the principle behind, you will know that all these answers are correct. But it may appear to somebody who memorize it like very, very different. Where they are very rigid. Just like that kid, they make fun of the standard one student. He went to school. After a few weeks, the father asked him, "How's school? Is it boring? Why?" He said, "My teacher is very confused." He said, "One day tell me 4 plus 3 is 7. Next day, 5 plus 2 is 7. He cannot understand. So, because of that, he learned through memory. So being rigid, you don't have the understanding. That's why Dhamma is not rigid. Dhamma is an understanding. The moment you understand. That's it. No matter what type of combination is it in life, because conditioned thing, worldly thing, existential world, they have a lot of condition to bring about happenings. But when you understand the nature's law, means you have wisdom, you understand the truth, the reality of life and existence, the nature's law that governs life, then how it brings about all these things, you understand. So you are not rigid, understand? No matter how the condition arise, you will be able to understand. You know it's according to the law. Yeah, it's like that. Otherwise, you will always try to remember, what did the book say, what did the Buddha say, what did Pradatyo say. Then you always need knowledge to answer things. Then all your action, you try to recall through memory, understand? How must I act? What did the Buddha say? What did the book say? What did Brother Teo say? Then you every time refer to what people tell you, understand? Which means you don't understand. You don't have the wisdom. It's just like meditation. Every time you encounter a problem, then you ask questions. After you ask question, what you expect? You expect an answer, understand? Otherwise you will ask, then what must I do, brother? Because you don't want to investigate, understand? It's not about the question anymore. The moment it's explained is because through his understanding, just like the Buddha, he will explain to you accordingly, because the condition like that, things will be like that. Then his way of explanation is like that. But this same situation can be approached from many angles, explained in many ways, through different understanding and wisdom, level understanding and wisdom. So it's not rigid. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. So when you have that understanding already, then you will investigate. Then the moment you investigate, until when you can understand, then you will awaken. After you awaken, you will be like the wise one. Then you understand what they try to tell you. It's not rigid anymore. It's not what the answer should be. Understand? That's why through understanding, the answer can be approached from any direction. That's why different people will describe their experience differently. But if you have already awakened, realized, you will understand what they are trying to tell you, where they saw the truth, they realized the truth. And they can explain it to you different way. They can use different words. But those who have realized it, they will know that this guy or this form of mind, he has already had the realization. Otherwise, he cannot speak like that. He cannot understand like that. He cannot have the penetrative insight to realize all this. Then the truth is the truth. Not your truth, not my truth. Where truth is truth, that's it. Things that can explain the way things are is the truth. Nature's law. Nature is just nature. Cannot be otherwise. Okay? Then we go on. Subhati, what do you think? Can the Buddha be perceived by means of the 32 physical characteristics, the major hallmark? So again, Subhati answer, no, most honored one. The Buddha cannot be perceived by his 32 physical hallmark. Why? Because the Buddha teaches that there are no real mark, but they are merely called the 32 physical hallmark or characteristic, because they need to use word to express, to communicate. Then the other understanding is, the Buddha is not the physical form on the sana. The hallmark is just because of his parami. This hallmark appears in the physical form. But the Buddha is, like we all know, embodiment of what? Embodiment of what? The Buddha. The physical body is never the Buddha, you understand? Right? That is his nimanakaya, functional body that performs the function of Sakyamuni at that life. So that one is not the real Buddha. That one is the nimanakaya, functional body. Then you got the spiritual body. That one is Sambhogayakaya. That one is the embodiment of what the Buddha nature is. The perfection of wisdom and virtue that he has cultivated over the eons and eons of perfection. That is the Buddha. That's why you don't look for the Buddha in his physical form or hallmarks. That's why he told the disciple, he who sees the Dhamma sees me. Not he who sees me physically sees me. If you see the Dhamma, means you see the embodiment of his understanding, because his understanding lead him to understand the Dhamma. That's why he teach the Dhamma. That's it. Dhamma is true, nothing else. Then we go on. Subhati, if a good and faithful person, whether male or female, now you have good reason to rejoice. The Buddha say not important, the physical, male or female, nothing to do with the truth. The truth is the understanding got nothing to do with the organ and the sana. Organ belong to the physical. As for the sake of compassion and charity, being sacrificing their life for generation upon generation, then even for as many generations as the grain of sand in the 3000 universe, and compared to another follower who had studied and observed even a single section of this sutta and explain it to others, that person's blessing and merits would be far greater than that good and faithful person. So you just imagine how special and unique this Diamond Sutta is. The moment you can cultivate until this level of understanding, you look back, you will know all this merit making. Like you want to do dana, you want to make all this offering, got no more meaning. And you do during that time when you don't understand the higher teaching, and you cannot cultivate until that level, then of course you have to do, then you can invoke the power of merits. But the moment you penetrate all this, when you realize this teaching, that's why I told you last time, after 1989, this nature understand no more meaning. You tell me what monk come or who come and how special the occasion is, a lot of murder, I cannot be like tempted to go or do. Cannot. He just cannot. But then when there is condition, this nature will go and do. It has become like that. Because all this doing got no more meaning. When he understand there is no one inside there to do. All these are still with mark, with delusion. Then the moment you penetrate all this, your perfection can be fulfilled very fast. It becomes very different. Your cultivation is at a completely different level. It's like from the normal, we take all the transportation mode as example. Initially, you got no car, you walk. So the walking mode take very long to reach the destination. Then, after you walk, you see people ride bicycle. Or you use bicycle faster. Then, the bicycle guy saw the motorbike even more faster. So he aimed for the motorbike. Then after the motorbike, the automobile come. The automobile come again. They buy all the sport car, the fast model. Then if you stay in a remote country, you got no other means of transport to come out. You have to come out by train. So the locomotive of the olden day, steam engine and all those things, very slow. Very slow. Nowadays you go around China, the world, bullet train, levitation and all those things. Then you go to Japan, Shinkansen. All these are top speed. You think very fast. We haven't evolved. After we evolve further, you will have that technology. The spaceship, you know how fast they travel. Then later on when you can achieve the speed of light, you think very fast. Then the advancement in the spiritual field, you go into consciousness faster even than the speed of light. Then you understand. So when you enter the complete understanding, means at the level of consciousness, it's just like you cultivate Diamond Sutta. You move beyond the world you want. The world you want fastest is the speed of light. You already fantastic speed of light. But do you know it takes how long to travel at the speed of light to reach another point in the universe that is 1 billion light year away? You travel at the speed of light for 1 billion years and you reach there. Then now they can see until 15 billion years. Still the boundary is not located yet. So all this is relative for you to see. So in the spiritual field, the Diamond Sutta is like the ultimate frontier of cultivation. That's why your mind become very different. So you can imagine the comparison. Okay, so with this, we can start the Chapter 12, turn to page 91. So we will read through Xuan Hua's version. Moreover, Subhati, you should know that all the gods, men, and asura of the world should make offerings to any place at which even so few as 4 lines of verse from this sutta are spoken and so forth, just as they would to a Buddha shrine or temple. How much the more so to any place where people can completely receive, hold, read and recite the sutta. Subhati, you should know that such people realize the foremost and rarest, the most rarest Dhamma, in any place the Sutta text is found, there is a Buddha or a revered disciple of the Buddha. So this is a slightly different version, but the meaning is the same. Just now I read on the other version is better. I read to you again so that you can compare. Furthermore, Subhati, if a person in any place were to teach even four lines of this sutta, the place where they taught it would have become sacred ground and would revered by all kinds of beings, as I including the devas, the asuras, and all things. But then he said, how much more sacred would the place become if that person then study and observe the whole sutta? See? Study and observe the whole sutta. Means they develop the complete understanding of this sutta. So here, Qianhua put it slightly different. He said, how much more so to any place where the cultivator there can completely receive, hold, read, and recite the sutta. So this one is just receive, hold, read, and recite. But here, the other one is study and cultivate, observe. That's why it's different. Yeah? The whole sutta, Subhati, is it. You should know that any person who does that would surely attain something rare and profound, just like what Shenhua mentioned, foremost and rarest of Dhamma. Wherever this sutta is honored and revered, there is a sacred site enshrining the presence of the Buddha or one of the Buddha's most revered or venerable disciple. So that is just to explain to you how wonderful this Diamond Sutta is all about. Then we read the commentary. Moreover, indicates that the passage of Sutta continue from the previous one. For some reason, it may not be convenient to speak the entire Sutta. So a four-line gatha is chosen, one similar to those mentioned before. So this one I went through with this. I went through with you all before. The famous, what they call, four-line gatha. Because Diamond Sutta is about mark. So this is the famous four-line in all Diamond Sutta. All with marks is false and empty. And now you can understand. Means you haven't really penetrated the real teaching or cultivation that is without mark. So all with marks is empty and false. Because at that level, you cultivate. If you still have a mark of a self-cultivating, that is the false Dhamma. Understand? As serious as that. That's why when you already realize that understanding, every level of cultivation down there, you look back, they are no longer applicable. Understand? Last time you think, this is Dhamma, so beautiful. But then the mark, just like the Theravada tradition, what is their main aim? Self-realization. They say they must realize first to save others. So they stress on self-realization. They don't want to be so ambitious. So they say sainthood enough. So that mark of a self is still there. So that cultivation is limited. Not to say it's no good, no. It's still already relatively very good. But it can free you from birth and death. Sainthood is already very good. Then you can realize arahantship is already fantastic. But then if you want to penetrate the true understanding of the higher teaching, you have to go beyond all this. That's why you have to cultivate until the perfection come about. And you have to go beyond mark to fulfill the ultimate perfection. That's why perfection also has three stages. You read the chanting book, I think, or chanting book has, Pamasuri put it in the retreat chanting book.
the three level of perfection of the ten perfection. Is in your retreat chanting book. At first, I was reluctant to put it in. She came and showed it to me. I said, okay. Well, that time, I don't think anybody will be interested in that. Then later on, I realized, oh, you all requested for the Diamond Sutta. Means there's a reason for it to go in. Otherwise, Padmasuri wouldn't be coming with that. Because that one, I never shared with you all before. You all know that it's in the chanting book, isn't it? How many of you didn't know? Maybe we make use of the condition to go through it. Just give me a minute. Okay. Your usual chanting book don't have. Only the retreat version, with the combine. Can remember which patient. Oh God, okay, I got it. Page 30, Page 30, yes. Paramita, 30 paramatta, the 30 aspect of perfection. So the first one is the perfection of generosity. Dana parami sampano. It's fully developed. Then the second one is the superior perfection of generosity is fully developed. Then the third one is the supreme perfection of generosity is fully developed. So the three level. First level is dana parami, generosity, the general aspect of generosity. The one that cultivate with a mark and the sana, a person believe they are doing good. They make offering, they make donation, they have generosity, parami, so you perfect it. Then later on, as you develop further understanding, you realize, according to what the Buddha teach in the sutta, the highest gift, you have to satisfy three conditions. What is it? Somanasa sahagatang. What is that? Malay word. Somanasa sahagatang. At all moment, you must have joy when you do vanasana. So before you do, you must have joy. When you do, you still have joy. Just like when you go to Katina, where you want to make offering. Before you go, you already have a lot of joy. Then when you are there making the offering, you have a lot of joy. Then after you have made the offering, on your way back, you recall, you reflect, you still have a lot of joy. Well, this is something you wanted to do. So there is still that understanding there. But the joy take over, because that form of mind get to do. Then, jnana sambayutang is what? The second criteria is, you do with what? What is jnana? Wisdom. Wisdom is understanding. You do with understanding. Means you are not deluded. But you know this is wholesomeness. Understand? That's why jnana sampayutang. That is the second criteria for that same action or same generosity or dana parami to be superior. The last one is what? Asangkarikang. What is asangkarikang? What? So fast forgotten. Asangkarikang means what? Spontaneous. Not prompted.
Not after listen to somebody tell you, hey, this one is very meritorious. No, you must go and make offering. Go, 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 go. And then you reluctantly go. Or where you have faith in that person. Oh, good, huh? Okay, I go. So this is prompted. Understand? But when you see the condition there simultaneously unprompted, you just want to do. Just like what happened to Joyce when he was at the spiritual trip with us to Thailand. Huh? The temple with a lot of dog on. Huh? Achan Wat, that one. What is the name, Mary? Long Po Wat. Tong, Long Po Tong. Ton, Long Po Ton. Long Po Ton. She suddenly start to cry, you know. Tears all come out. Then all of a sudden, because that time the Long Po was not around, then the disciple who supposed to like receive us has yet to come out. Then Sui An went around and said, we are collecting donation for the rest who wants to make additional offering apart from the Kayanamita fund to donate to the temple, to Long Po, Long Po Thon temple. As she was crying, I think she is here, better ask her to describe that. As she was crying, I finished this one first. You know what happened? No? Out of the blue, I also want to donate. Spontaneously, you know. Because there is condition. Then you know what she said after that? Well, I asked her, wow, what happened? What made you make the decision to donate? Before that, I asked her, how much? He said, 4,000. It's 4,000 baht, not 4,000. I said, okay, sadhu, very good. So ask her for money. You know. She got no money. You know. She said, I don't have money. Then I said, don't worry, we will sort it out for you. So I said, I pay for you first. Then after that, I said, what made you decide to donate like that? He said, I don't know. Oh, I said, that is the highest merit. I said, sadhu, that is the best answer. You are from inside. Her nature can feel. And this is what it wants to do spontaneously, just come out on it. That's why this type of merits are different. This is what we call superior perfection merits. Then supreme is what? Supreme one is no mark one. Apart from the three, somanasa sahagatang, jnana sambayutang, asangalikang, you do without a self doing, without any living being. Without any mark of merits or dhamma, nothing. And that is the third level of perfection. So that's why they got three level: ordinary level of perfection, superior, then supreme. So the Buddha called it dana parami sampanno, dana upa parami sampanno. So superior is upa parami. Then the highest one is what? Supreme is what? Dana? Huh? Louder, louder. I didn't hear. Oh, very good. Wow. Pama Surisho, no. Here she asked me to add on. That's why paramatta. Huh? Paramatta means ultimate truth. Ultimate parami. Parami sambano. So these are the level of cultivation. It's in the Theravada Sutta, you know. You don't think Theravada don't talk about paramatta, parami. You know. This is the supreme cultivation. That's why the teaching are there. But the Buddha never emphasized on the perfection. Asana. There are three levels to reach. And the last one is Diamond Sutta level. So all these are there actually. But living being just have their own funny way. They attach to the name Theravada and they don't understand all this. They say Theravada don't teach, don't have such sutta, Mahayana or not the real one because it's not in the sutta. No. They say all the Surangama sutta, Heart sutta, then you have what they call Diamond sutta. So all these sutta they appear so contradictory to what they understand in the Theravada teaching, no? So they say cannot be true. Then there are a lot of people who have a lot of very funny comment. I hear about it. I listen. So it's recorded in the tape. No? I also don't know what to say. I just kept quiet because different people different. Parami different, understanding different. That's why they were saying things like that. That's why I say when you are not at that level, please have an open mind. Don't simply say things or comment. That's why I always say according to my understanding, I think it's like that. I don't know about others. There are other people, they will have different understanding. So like I say, at different level of cultivation, as you cultivate, your understanding will be different. So let's say at the preliminary level, to you, this Dhamma are beautiful. Oh, you say this is right. But at another level, when you reach a higher, superior level, then you look down. Not so right already. Then as you penetrate another level, you reach the supreme level, then you look back. Again, not what you think. So right and wrong, to me, is relative. At what level of understanding you are. That's why right according to you. But the truth is the truth. And truth has many levels. That's why truth is to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So this is why Dhammasutta is very unique. Okay? So our retreat chanting book actually is also very unique. We have the three level of 10 perfection. Pass the mic to Yun Chan. Wait. We need to record, otherwise they cannot hear. Otherwise they will ask Sui Ano, how come not recorded? This round means zero. If we don't use the mic, it will not be recorded. Yun Chan. Push it up.
Okay. It's just, I think you would have heard this Lung Po Prasit has passed away. The one in Chiang Mai.
I didn't know about it. You got it from the WhatsApp? I didn't receive.
Somebody.
Yeah, I heard of this name before, Lung Po Prasit.
We were in Thailand. That's a Lung Po Plain.
Yeah, I know. Lung Po Plain, we went there.
Lung Po Prasit also, we went there.
Yeah. That name is familiar. Oh, he just passed away. But they are all very old already. How old is he?
70 plus only.
Oh, 70 plus only. Oh, okay. Long for Brazil. Oh, I cannot remember. But the name sounds familiar. Thank you for letting us know. So, this type of being, no problem. They have the Dhamma, they have their cultivation. Okay, so far, any question or not before we proceed? Anybody wants to add anything? Or have any question to develop the understanding further? If you don't have, then we go to the four line or the four stanza. All with mark is false and empty. So now you understand. If you see all marks as no mark, then what happened? Then you see the Tathagata. But you don't come and tell me, but you, I also cannot see any mark. So I'm also the Tathagata. Where you look at empty space, no mark. But you never check your mind. Your mind hold on to everything. So the mark of self, the mark of delusion, the mark of craving, they are all over your mind. But you cannot see. You think what your eye cannot see. I don't see any mark. It's not like that. It's the way you arise your mind. If you arise the mind and develop the wisdom and understanding, then you will have this understanding of no mark. And when there is no mark, there is no atta, no egoic mind, no self, no delusion, nothing. It's just like that. But no sound. The mind is just like that. Completely still. just away. Then everything is just the way it is. The word never come in. But to develop understanding, you need to use word, to express it, to share, to teach. You need words. Because like one of my teachers used to tell me, they need to use word because to express themselves. Terminology are very dangerous, subject to interpretation. So words and terminology can be confusing if you don't have the same understanding. So that's why when you use word, you have to understand that these are words that point towards that truth or that Dhamma. But the word is not that thing. Always remember that. If you have the delusion, then you will take the word for that thing. Just like the finger pointing at the moon. The finger that point at the moon is not the moon, understand? It's a pointer. Now you can see. Just like the word that describes Nibbana. Nibbana is not the word. But it is a word that points towards that thing. So cultivation is to develop the wisdom to go beyond word, to transcend mind, to transcend thought. That's why to see things as they are, not what your thought tell you, not what your conditioned mind tell you. So all these are actually in the teaching, but living being cannot understand. Yet they are so used to the thought process, so used to words, concept, idea. So when you cannot go beyond words, beyond thought, you can never see the truth. You can never realize the truth. You are still within the existential world, mundane world, within the form Dhamma, within the thought, rhyme, or field of thought. Okay, turn to the next page, 92. Use any four lines which you consider appropriate to speak in response to each opportunity and practice complete giving to cure each living being of their particular problem. The place where you speak, even no more than four lines of sutta text, is a place where the god and the man and the asura of the world come to make offering. All actually refers to all beings in the sixth path of birth. Liu Tao Lun Hui is the Mahayana way of defining the 31 plane of existence. So for them, the first five rhymes, from the hell rhyme up to the human rhyme, the first five rhymes. The four rhymes are the woeful state, the rhyme of suffering, dukkha, what they call karma dukkati. They are the hell rhyme. The what they call hungry ghost rhyme. Then you have the animal rhyme. Then you have the demon rhyme, asura. So these four are the same. Then you got manusa. The fifth rhyme is the human being or humanity. Then above that is the, they call it the heavens, Tian Fa Jie. So the heavens are equivalent to the other 26 rhyme of the Theravada teaching. You have the 7 Deva rhyme, the 16 Brahma rhyme, and 4 more, what they call four more formless rhyme. So 4 plus 16 is 20. Then 6 Deva rhyme, 26. 26 plus 5, 31. So same. Okay. So the sixth path of rebirth, which is God, means the heavenly rhyme. Then man, asura, animal rhyme, hungry ghost, and hell rhyme. However, only gods, men, and asura are specifically mentioned in the passage of the sutta, because it's not easy for beings in the three evil paths to make offering to the triple gem. And this one you understand, not easy, you know. You become hell beings. How to have condition to make offering? You yourself want to find food to eat also cannot, so because you're coming. Whatever food the people give to you, the moment they reach you, they become molten charcoal or burning charcoal. Very hot, molten hot. You cannot even eat. Then there's a lot of suffering. Then similarly, in the rhyme of the hungry ghost, or Pitta rhyme, you know the Buddha described under the Theravada Sutta. Down there, you cannot work, no money, nothing. No. You are completely dependent on what? People's, your relative, close relative or related relatives transfer of merit to you. Otherwise you cannot receive anything. That's why they got no chance to do merits. Then the third evil rhyme is animal rhyme with delusion. How to make offering? Unless you are special animal, where you know how to, you saw the Mahayana on the dog know how to prostrate on. The dog know how to meditate. Then there are certain human beings, they keep this pet, dress them up so nicely. Some they even train them how to make offering. Pay respect is very common, make offering. And sometimes this dog, they are very good dog. Like last time I told you, in Australia when I visited my teacher Achayantra, there was one katina. There was a Dhamma dog. He every time sit underneath his elevated kuti when he meditate. He will sit down there. And the dog know. He can feel Dhamma. So when I was there with Ramanda, he also came to Ramanda, came to me. And that dog very special, that dog really have Dhamma, can do a lot of things. There's certain type of animal, but very rare, very rare. Most of the animal rhymes, when they are born as animals, or even reptile, chicken, monkey, or whatever, they can't even understand what is going on. So how can they understand merits? Then how can they make offering? That's why he, echoing the Xianhua, which is, I think, very true. They only mention the three rhyme, the gods, the human, and the asuras. They can make offering. Okay, we go on. The world. There are two kinds of world. The sentient world and the material world. The sentient world includes all beings with sentience who have breath and blood. What lack breath and blood is called insentient. The material world includes rooms, porch, hall, house, mountains, rivers, the great earth, all the 10,000 things. Means they are living object, understand not? But they call it insentient or inanimate, insentient. You know, like the plant, the tree, they are actually living thing, understand not? But it's not a living being. They are mono consciousness, but they are incapable of morality, understand not? Incapable of karmic and other things. So here they try to differentiate between sentient and insentient. So the sentient world is also called the proper retribution, means linked to karma, karmic retribution. Why does the world exist? Because sentient being exists. That's why you have the sentient beings within the sentient world. Because sentient being exists. If there were no living being, there would be no world. The material world is insentient. And since the insentient depends upon the sentient, it is called a dependent retribution. Then proper retribution refers to beings undergoing their appropriate retribution, as is the case with people who live in the world. Proper and dependent retribution form the world. So this is Chen Hua's explanation. God here refers to beings in the heaven, the heavenly realm. That's why they call it Tian Fa Jie. Man refers to the human realm. Then Asura, demon realms, may be found among not really animal, Asura. And among men, as well as among gods. So this Asura, they are actually within this tree realm. And are described as beings who like to fight because their evil root is anger. Animal is delusion. The hell realm is all three also got greed, hatred, delusion. But the pitta realm is mainly greed, selfishness, craving, desire. Then you will be born as petas or hungry ghosts. Then you got a lot of anger, a lot of vengeance, a lot of hatred on. You will become asura, demons. Then you are very deluded one. You become animal. So all these are the various type of rebirth according to karma. Okay, for example, God who war against the heavenly general are the asura. So this one, they call it the earthbound. Earthbound deva, a lot of them are asura. Because they like to fight with the heavenly devas. Fighting is strongly embedded in the asura nature. Asura is a Sanskrit word which translates as, why they call misshapen? Or as lacking wine. Mo chau yam. Yun Chan also laugh. From morning to night, asura think of drinking wine. But for reason unknown to them, whenever they try to buy some, shopkeeper will not sell. People refuse to sell asura alcohol, knowing that if asura become drunk, they beat up other people. The asura's situation is one of having the blessing of the god, but lacking their authority. In other words, they merit the reward of the heavens, but they lack the virtue, the virtuous conduct of God. So you become asura is because of their evil root. They actually have enough merits and live in the heavenly realm as deva, but because they lack the virtuous conduct of God, means out of the three evil root, they still got anger, envy, jealousy, unhappiness, emotion. So because of that, they cannot qualify as deva. They become asura. Because a lot of anger, the evil root of anger, the small thing they can get angry with you. But some of these are not selfish. Understand? They are not selfish. But they are very unhappy, very angry. And they like to hold on to their belief, like righteousness, understand? Righteousness is not virtue, that's all. To them, this is right, You see the Chinese deity, Quan Gong, he stands for righteousness. His title, he will kill you if you are not righteous. You running dog, he kill you. Then your enemy supporting the wrong leader, he also kill you. So businessmen like Quan Gong. Why? Because righteous. They don't want to cheat and deceive. They are very righteous. But righteous according to them. But not bad. Quan Gong's virtue, a lot of people respect him. because it is in the what they call 三国演义, Romance of the Three Kingdoms, 三国演义, and he is the three brothers. That's how our association come about, no? Liu Guan Zhang, Liu Bei, Guan Gong, Zhang Yi. Zhang Yi is a Hakka fellow. Zhang Fei. He's Hakka fellow. My lineage. Tio, Zhang. Zhang. That's why we got one association called Liu Guan Zhang. So the Hakka association, they have Liu Guan Zhang. All the three surnames can join the Hakka association. Liu Guan Zhang. Then the three brothers, Liu Bei, Guan Gong, and Zhang Fei. Liu Guan Zhang. He very fierce one. He go to war, people scared of it. He shout first one. Before he come, people panic. But Guan Gong, quiet one. No sound, but he come, he's finished. Yeah, very few people can take his that Guan Tao, because it's very heavy at the end, and he know how to swing it. Then Liu Bei is, they say, the fortunate guy. He actually almost died. You know. My father, when I was young, he liked to tell me this story. And later on only I come to know why he has to tell me this story, so that I can understand China history. The Dhamma actually got a lot of things to do with it. So even the very famous Kong Ming, he really he know a lot of things. He know about Dhamma, he know about the Feng Shui, then he know about the astrology and all those things. And he can predict, and he can know a lot of things. He can feel. No, he became the emperor. No. Because at that time, the very fierce warrior, Cao Cao, people scared of him. Then when he captured everybody, including Liu Bei, where that time was the warring section, all the seven states fighting. Then my father told me Liu Bei actually was advised by a wise man. He said, you must pretend to be very, very stupid, like you useless, eh? You got no more like possibility of causing any problem to this Cao Cao already. Because Cao Cao is very arrogant. If you are powerful, if you are a threat to him, the word is a threat to him, he will finish you off. Then after they capture Liu Bei, then you know what happened. He realized Liu Bei cannot fight. He is a useless guy. But he's parami and merit very good. He said, Mia Chui Yahu. He is supported by Quan Gong and Zhang Fei. So the three Jie Bai Xiong Ti, then they lost. Then what happened was, when they lost, this, what they call Quan Gong, where he very righteous. So Cao Cao tried to win him over, but he is very righteous. He won't go against the people he pledged support. Then Zhang Fei, as usual, a lot of temper. He cannot get along with them, so he ran away. So what happened was, this Liu Bei pretend to be very stupid, no? Like simply say thing, and then even at one time, in front of Cao Cao, when he know Cao Cao coming, he even go and take the shit, no? Don't know dog shit or don't know what, no? Then he eat in front of him, no? Then Cao Cao go and tell the general. But the general say, you know Chinese, you cannot let go of anyone on. Zhan Cao 一定要出根, you must uproot on. Means otherwise the wind come, Chun Feng Chui use. They advise him to kill Liu Bei. He said, forget about him, this type of person. where got potential one, is it? Shit also eat, is it? And useless, cannot find nothing. So he let him go, no? I tell you, it was because of that stupid move. Later on, he, like I say, his parami, his blessing very good. A lot of people come and help him, no? Because he was the actual descendant. He's supposed to be king, like you say. But they kick him out. Well, he don't know how to fight. He don't know how to like chong, all these things. So later on, this, what they call, the very wise fellow, what is his name? Zhuge Liang, Zhuge Liang, or Cao Cao. I'm sorry. Another name, Zhuge Liang got another name. Kong Ming, Kong Ming. He actually finally agreed to help him. Sui Mia, he know he will become a pro. So that's why he decide to. But he took him a lot of time to look for him. A few times he almost died, the Liu Bei. But he was very patient. At first, the Zhang Yi and the Guan Gong, very angry. He said, this fellow so arrogant. We go, we don't want to see him. But finally, he said no. He said, I will wait. He said. Then he managed to meet him. Then, finally, he was so happy when he agreed to help them. A very kind person. Very kind. That's why he cannot come out. He is too compassionate. He soft-hearted, but later on, because of this, Kong Ming actually helped him. Then Kong Ming, I think, appoint somebody, the student or what, to help him run the country. I think, don't know whether he's student or Confucius student or Mengzi one, I forgot already. Mencius, Mengzi, Kongzi. Mengzi, you got one Mengzi, Mencius, 也是很厉害的. Oh, 不从朝代, 我知道. Maybe must be Kongzi, I don't know. Yeah, I remember he appointed another guy. No, there is somebody's student. I don't know. It has to be Kongzi, what? Not Confucius, before. Confucius is before or after? Before. Earlier. But it's one of the very famous teachers, disciple, you know, he recommended. Laozi. Means BC time. Before Buddha. Before even the Buddha. Anyway, not important. Finally, he got people to help him. That's how he become emperor. So if you want to have good parami, you must have goodness. And your virtue will prevail. You don't worry. You don't have to be aggressive and what they call arrogant to actually conquer the world, to rule. Well, finally, you will meet your downfall. But they always say, you're too kind-hearted. You cannot be a politician. Now we don't talk about emperor, we talk about politician. You cannot survive in the arena. These politician, their mind different one. they work very differently. Like emperor, is it? You want to be a real emperor, you have to be very, very decisive. You have to kill. Means you have to kill. Otherwise they cannot survive. Because they are, the moment they are not in power, not in control, a lot of people want to revolt against them and change dynasty. Okay, we go on. Okay. How does one become an asura? See what Shen Hua explained. Those who constantly seek revenge become asura. those who have vengeance or anger, sauhan, a lot of anger, vengeance. For instance, if someone uses one sentence to scold you, but you retorted with two sentences to put him down. If someone hit you with one fist, you smash him back with both yours of yours. In general, you want to pay back double. And by acting that way, when you fight, you quickly become an asura. No need to take rebirth. You already an asura. When someone speaks a four-line gatha of the sutta, not only should people come to make offering, but God should come as well. What does it mean to make offering? This one you can learn. There are offerings which are made to the Buddha, offerings which are made to the Dhamma, and offerings which are made to the Sangha. Offering to the Buddha include placing incense, flower, lamps, like candles, fruits, adornment, or perhaps tea. Got tea also, no? Or water, clear water, before the Buddha image or Rupang. So these are the normal offering that we offered to the Buddha. Then offering to the Dhamma refers to the careful protection of the Dhamma. When reading sutta, you should not be sloppy or casual. When you are not reading them, you should not just carelessly lay them aside. You should have a specific place designated for sutta. And when you place them there, you should do so very gently and respectfully, laying them squarely, so that no corner extend beyond the edge of a table. Anyone who had opened his Buddha eye can see that whenever a sutra is not securely placed, Wei Tao Bodhisattva come and stand patiently holding up the corner of the sutta. You believe him or not? No, you believe what Shen Hua said or not? Or the sutra on his hand. Also, placing the sutta in an unclean place is disrespectful and cannot be considered as offering to the Dhamma. So Buddhist sutta should be placed above all secular books. You should have the same regards for sutta as for your own body and life. If you tear or rip up sutta or heedlessly burn them, you will be so stupid in future life that you won't be able to remember anything, no matter how many times people attempt to teach you. The same retribution before those who are stingy with the Dhamma. For instance, in the former life, Anuruddha endured the retribution of extreme stupidity because prior to that he had known the Dhamma and had refused to speak it for others. Later he planted many good roots. So when he met Sakyamuni Buddha, he certified to the fruit of Arahant. If you destroy sutta, there is no saying when you will again see a Buddha. In the future, you will be stupid and subject to unthinkable many additional retribution. Okay, maybe we stop here. Then we discuss a bit. Now I come to know why last time I went to Wu Bing Jing Se. I remember the first few lessons. I was there. As usual, Miss Lee will give me a table and a table. Then I remember at that time I was carrying this greenback. Then I took out the sutta book. I don't know what sutta already, I forgot already. I put it on the floor. Walked straight away, one of the Wu Bing Jing Se, I think the sister or one. He in a very nice way, but also because of his usual reaction. But to him, I think they must have read this. They must have read this. Then to them, they are so conditioned. although he want to say it nicely, you know, but he reacted straight away. How can you do that? Something like that, you know. But actually, he meant well, you know. He said, we must respect this, all those things. He said, you cannot put like that. Oh, he's trying to, like, he meant good. Oh, I said, sorry. I took it and put on the table. Then he kept quiet. And now we discuss this, okay. Yeah, now we discuss this. Now we discuss this, okay. You know what happened to all this belief? Finally, not only our religion, other religions also say, all the Bible, all the whatever book, so-called book, they will become very, very old one. So how to dispose? Cannot dispose. Because this is, according to this, you can become very, very stupid. You tear, you throw, you burn, you get into big problem. So how? I tell you, the moment you become rigid, you are dead. It's your understanding. You think the sutta is that holy thing? The sutta, that book, is just word. The true sutta is the understanding that is beyond words. Understand now? You think Wei Tong got nothing to do? Everywhere go and look for a book and put the hand on that. Cannot be. Understand now? Because the individual, the act, of course, that is coming, you purposely have like intention. The main thing is intention, the Buddha said. If you intentionally, do it, anasana, means, you don't respect other religion, then you want to do something to their religion, that one got coming, very severe. You don't play a fool. But if there's no intention or disrespect, I take my book out. Of course, the most convenient is I put on the floor, then I check what other books I want to put on the table. And got problem with that or not? Just because like that, I become disrespectful. I will become stupid for how long? Forget about all this. Don't become rigid. Respect come from your heart, your understanding, your sincerity. Understand or not? The outwardly one. That's why I say these are form dhamma. To me, the real respect or offering to the Dhamma is different. When you offer flower, that's why I say you mindfully rejoice and offer. That rejoicing is an understanding, part of Dhamma. Then you reflect on the significance of this offering. And that's not enough. What is the flower? It represents what? Impermanence. Understand? You see it. So that is the Dhamma inside there. So you rejoice, like offering of fruits. You recall to mind the karmic fruition. Then you recall to mind that this is generosity offering. These are the Dhamma you actually develop while you make offering. This is what offering to the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha is all about. Because later on this can be food that you serve the Sangha, understand not? Like in the Dana, all those things, like our Dhamma sharing and all those things. So this is the understanding. It is not the form Dhamma that you are after. It is the true teaching, the true Dhamma that you must have respect. That's why when you have this great gratitude and respect for the Buddha, it's not the statue, understand not? That's why the Buddha say the four objects of veneration is to allow you to recall to mind, anasana, the great virtue of all these objects. The first one is the Buddha Rupang, to recall to mind his great wisdom and perfection. That's why you pay your respect and you offer your gratitude. And that is the correct way. Then you make offering. And all these are linked to his teaching. That's why he advised you to make this type of offering. You don't slaughter chicken. Again, his teaching. That's why you don't offer all those things. But our Chinese family tradition, last time my mother do a lot of that. Oh, they say, you help me, you make my wish come true, I will offer you more. Siu chi, the piglet. Then nowadays they improve, no, not pachamkai anymore, siu ngao, siu ngao, everything also that. But the actual Buddhist practice don't have such thing because it's against the precepts of killing. So you don't go and make this type of offering. Then the other thing is also your understanding. Because understanding is most important. It's not your outward form Dhamma. Understand? A lot of people try to express it outwardly. Hey, I'm vegetarian. No? I'm more compassionate. No? I don't even cause to kill. This is all outwardly trying to prove that you are holier than thou. Understand? No? That you are more religious. But deep in your heart, your evil roots are still so potent. No? You still have so much delusion, so much greed, so much selfishness, so much cunningness, emotional negativity. When your inner defilement also you cannot purify and take care, you want to talk about compassion at that level, to me is no meaning. You are trying to be compassionate outwardly. But if you are a true cultivator, you look at Jie Kong. You know who is Jie Kong or not? The Bodhisattva that eat dog meat one. If it's a dirty shirt, dirty monk's robe and the fan on, broken fan on. Chai Kung, Chai Kung. He is so virtuous. He eat. He like he like dog meat. The Zawa, the Wong Zawa, the Xiong Wei. He like that one, no. That is a drink, of course, but in the chicken also got the Thai. Wong Zawa Kai. So when he eat, you know, there was one time they thought he drunk. No? They go and ask him. No? He said, only people believe that there is life. Understand? No? But he eat with understanding. No mark of a self, no mark of a being. Understand? No? Well, there is condition to offer. He didn't cause to kill, just to kill. It come. People offer. Then he like to do like that, rub. Then all the lucky come out. In the show also got, you believe, you sick, you go and eat, recover. Because he got a lot of pure energy. So, although he very dirty, you won't be surprised. During Xuan Hua's time, the disciple go and beg him to give whatever from his body they go and collect. The hair or whatever. And they believe it can cure them. Whatever, they say, from the body of pure energy. That's why the four objects of veneration, the first one is the Buddha. Oh, we are supposed to end it. Then, the Bodhi tree. The Bodhi tree. Because they recall to mind how it sheltered the Buddha and make him enlightened. Then you have the relics. Relics. The relics is because of the pure energy, the vibration, the perfection, the cultivation that transform. Because this pure energy inside, over a long time, they will become like relics. But it has to go through burning, cremation. Then the last one is the stupa. Stupa is also the place where they house all these relics. That's why these are the four objects of veneration. Then within the stupa, the teachings are all there. The four foundations, the four noble truths, the seven factors of enlightenment, they are all there inside the design of the stupa. So that's why all this has its significance. It's not the physical thing. No. That is form Dhamma. You don't go and look at all this form Dhamma. You look inside your mind, your nature. This is where the real Dhamma resides. Where this is where the mind is. And this mind, you have to understand, there are two minds. That's why Hui Ning, the sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, it takes you direct to the mind. Direct pointing to the true mind, the true name. That's why that cultivation is the fastest. If you go through the thought process, long time, thought based. And then when you realize the direct teaching from the true mind, then you can cultivate Diamond Sutta very fast. If you do thought-based meditation, it will take you a long, long time before you can even touch the true mind. Realize that nature. And when you realize that nature, that is the beginning of true meditation. No? Meditation just begin, no? The real meditation. You see, when you do thought-based meditation, it take you how long? That's why it's like the example I give. When you walk, then you go bicycle, not so bad. Go motorbike, not so bad. Go car, not so bad. But later on, go aeroplane. Oh, you lose behind so fast already, understand or not? So, when you reach the aeroplane, you must also fly different plane. They got supersonic, understand or not? Faster than the speed of sound. Then after that, they got the one with rocket propulsion. Then they can travel using spaceship technology. Now they want to develop the one that can go 20% the speed of light. To them, it's a big achievement. That's why later on, as our universe or our world system evolve, we will break through all this technology. Then we can go beyond the speed of light. We will understand consciousness. We will understand many things. Then we will evolve until this physical form no more, not needed. These are all for the star beings, advanced civilization. And we can come to it. Actually, we are still very backward, you know. But to the human race, you think you're hella advanced already. You can know so much things. But you are still very, very far behind in terms of star being consciousness field. We are still nowhere. That's why there are very little beings with understanding of consciousness. The pure mind and the pure energy, the pure nature. So there are a lot more things that the universe actually has gone through. Civilization that are a lot more advanced than us. They are way ahead. So it's just like 1 century ago. Now you look back, we are still so primitive. No need to say 1 century. Even 50 years ago, we are still very primitive. The last 10 to 20 years, you know, we progress how fast or not? Science, technology, and understanding. I tell you, our life changed so tremendously. That's why our civilization, we get to experience all this. We are very blessed. Do you know that? You look at our parents. My parents don't have a chance to see all this. Our great-grandparents were still. My grandfather experienced World War II. After that, a few years later, passed away. He got TB. My father didn't go beyond the year 2004. Although at that time he see quite a number of things, but there are a lot more things he didn't see. Our handphone or the thing. Then now we get to see all this. Then 20, 30 years from now, I think we are even a lot more advanced. Okay, we better end. Otherwise, we won't finish. Okay, make a note. We are at page 94. Okay. Yeah, sorry, taken extra 5 minutes of your time. Now we'll do the sharing of merits with the devas. Then after that, we'll do the usual transfer of merits, aspiration, and we will end. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa Cirang rakan tu loka sasana Ita wata camehi Padan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabbe sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hon tunya tayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hon tunya tayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo สัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวะนิวานาปาติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุ
Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.